All right. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Abby D., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, February 17th, 2025, and this is the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 79 in the second paragraph. Usually, however, other people are involved, reading through one paragraph ending, if he had walked up to the judge and said, "Here I am," and commenting on that one paragraph. Today's readers are Chris W. for the 12 steps, Susan R. for the 12 traditions, Penny C. reading the text, and Lynn F. reading page 164 at the closing. And thank you to Craig F., our backup reader today. The reference number for Sunday, February 16th, 2025, for the special edition meeting is 22171. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Chris W. to read the 12 steps.
Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol or food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we're wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me serve.
Thank you so much, Chris W., for reading the 12 steps. And I will now ask Susan R. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning. Tradition one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, there's a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, Every OA group offers self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Now pass.
Thank you so much, Susan R., for reading the 12 traditions. All right, how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 79 in the second paragraph. Usually, however, other people are involved, reading through one paragraph ending, "If he had walked up to the judge and said, 'Here I am,'" and commenting on that one paragraph. And I will now ask Penny C. to begin reading. Thank you so much, Penny.
Good morning. This is Penny C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I live in the Boston area. Thank you so much, Abby. Usually, however, other people are involved. Therefore, we are not to be the hasty and foolish martyr who would needlessly sacrifice others to save himself from the alcoholic pit. A man we know had remarried. Because of resentment and drinking, he had not paid alimony to his first wife. She was furious. She went to court and got an order for his arrest. He had commenced our way of life, had secured a position, and was getting his head above water. It would have been impressive heroics if he had walked up to the judge and said, "Here I am." This paragraph reminds me of a lot of my own experience. On page 74, we read just a few days ago that we must always be considerate of others. And so I need to think about the consequences of whatever I do on others, if there be some. And I think that's also important for me that I don't just go ahead and make an amends, especially a serious one like this man is talking about, without talking to a trusted person, usually a sponsor or another recovered member, a 12-step member. But it can be a clergy person. But I need to check it out with someone else because my thinking is not always straight. So that reminds me of when I was in a Big Book step study just a year after I had come into OA, and I was going through a very, very contentious divorce, and it was ongoing. And when we were just like touching the surface of the steps in that group, and I was all set when we got to the amends. I was going to play the martyr, and I was going to write a letter to my soon-to-be ex-husband, and I was going to look for every little thing I ever did that might be harmful to him. And I wrote the letter, and then I was going to meet with my sponsor at the time, and we met in person. I sat down and I told her, I'm going to send this letter. And she said, and you still go and do the divorce and you're being sent, called to court? She said, Penny, that would be foolish. You're not considering what that would mean, not only for you, but for your family. She said, so I'd like you to read that letter to me and then burn it, which I did. So it's so important when we're going to make an amends. And I would think this man, that this example, this kind of situation would have sought guidance and not just quickly hurry into, make amends. And like it says, I like that word, be a martyr and make things worse, really. And so the bottom line for me is, trust and rely on God, and I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Penny C., for reading and getting us started this morning. All right. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others may share their experience, too. So who would like to share today?
Christina J. from North Carolina.
Christina J.
Lynn F., Pennsylvania.
Lynn F.
Craig F.
Craig F. Who else would like to share today?
Lucy B., Florida.
Bonnie B.
All right, Bonnie. Couple more. Who else wants to get it? Oh, there's
Lucy B., Florida.
Yep, I've got you, Lucy.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, that's all right. Anybody else this morning? All right, let's start with that. So we have Christina J. in North Carolina, Lynn F., Craig F., Lucy B., Bonnie B., and then I'll take another lineup after that. All right, so Christina J., go ahead, followed by Lynn F.
Good morning, everyone. Christina J. in North Carolina. Let me tell you, I'm a hero. I'm a hero because I go out and I make amends and I get validated and I'm in recovery and I'm a hero because I have all these things, a new palette of tools to get validation because I'm such a good person. Wow. And I used that for years before program, actually, and a little bit in program. But I was going to do this stuff and become a good, and you should give me an award, and I'm going to donate money, I'm going to tell you about it, and I'm going to do this and that and the other thing, and I'm going to tell you about it. You know, you're just going to say, wow, Christina's such a great person. She has strong recovery. No, not it. Not the game. The truth is that we walk in humble connection with God and we ask, are we going to harm someone with this? Am I going to boast about this and tell all my friends, or am I going to listen for what you have me do and be around this event? Am I going to learn humbleness? Am I going to fall to my knees and learn surrender? Am I going to really learn what I've done to someone and really honestly want to make amends? Not just so I can have a great place in heaven, you know, on earth. I can feel good about myself, but I can truly become a humble individual and not ever want to do those things again. Because if I'm going to get a boast out of them, there's going to be something lingering in me that maybe will get involved in that again. I've had some great challenges around certain aspects of my desire systems that I've had to really turn to God with. And I am not proud of those things. I'm cleaning house on deep, deep levels these days. And one of the recent boasts that I could have really gotten into was that I helped my mother pass. Oh, you did such a good job. Who else would have done it but you? blah, blah, blah. And you know what I did? Something in my soul had that whole journey written on it. I just showed up and did what God wanted me to do. There is no boasting in that. It was a humble, beautiful experience. And I made amends to her for many things in the process. So this isn't about boasting and getting accolades. This is about a humble walk with God, between you and God, not between you and all the fellows. Even though we share our experience, how we did things, we learn from each other. But we don't go out to the world and say, I'm recovered. I can handle your BS. Not. Anyway, the word hero really stuck out to me, and I am not a hero. I'm one of God's precious servants in this work, and I'm so grateful to be here. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you so much, Christina J. from North Carolina. Next up, we have Lynn F. from Pennsylvania, followed by Craig F., I believe, from North Carolina, but we'll stay tuned for that. Lynn F., go ahead. Thank you.
Good morning, Abby, and good morning, everybody. This is Lynn F., recovered in Pennsylvania, and I just am grateful to hop on the line and claim my seat today. And what this paragraph reminds me of is a couple of things. One, the giddiness of getting recovered and getting and wanting to be well and being eager for that. And secondly, the need for sponsorship and spiritual fellowship to help me navigate what's right and what is wrong. And I'm just reminded to look ahead to page 84. Why am I doing this work? You know, I'm working toward these promises. I want the promises. I am outgrowing those bedevilments back on 52. And if I harm others or myself during amends, you know, then I'm going to have more work to do. My last pass through the step work last year, I had a deep experience with my ideals, and I had had really wonderful sponsorship in coming through that 12-step process. And if I'm not adhering to my ideals as well in every step of the way, you know, I'm going to cause harm to self and others. So making my amend has been a really freeing and delicate walk with God. I'm doing this to rid myself of the harms I've done. I'm turning to God to say, please take all of me and help me in this journey toward you. And I can't do that if I am not listening. I'm cultivating my intuitive thoughts. I'm cultivating my spiritual actions. And with that, I can walk a little closer to God and make amends in a way that I don't have to make another amend for that behavior. So I'm really glad to be doing the work together and shouldering with each of you today on Monday. That's what I got.
Thank you so much, Lynn F. from Pennsylvania. Next up, we have Craig F., followed by Lucy B. Craig F., go ahead.
Yeah, hi, this is Craig F., and I'm recovered in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, not North Carolina, but that's okay. I'm reminded in this paragraph that anytime I try to make an amends for an outcome, that I'm on shaky grounds. That if I go to somebody to make amends, and in my mind, I am trying to manipulate the outcome of that amends, the reaction to that amends, I'm doing it for the wrong reason usually. If I go to somebody and say and think, if I make this amends, then they'll be my friend again, or I'll have a relation, I'll restore the relationship with them. Well, that's not a terrible thing. I probably don't have my mindset right for making the amends, because we're not in the results business here. You know, one of the funniest stories I ever heard, a friend of mine in the beverage program drove about an hour from here to make an amends to his ex-wife. and he packed a bag in case he got, in case she invited him to spend the night, you know? And he went to the door and she talked to him through the screen door. He'd made an appointment and he made his amends and she slammed the door. And he realized he had gone for a result. And when he didn't get the result, he was felt a little disappointed as he walked away. But he also felt relief of the, he felt free of her for the first time in a long time, free of how that relationship had affected him. And he realized that that wasn't the result he went for, but it was the result that he got. And you know, I did this a similar thing, and it didn't turn out as well for me. I made an amends to my ex-wife early in the program, and I did it in order to get her to make an amends to me, to get her to tell me things. I thought that that's what she would do, and instead she took what I said and used it against me, complicated the relationship. But you see, I'd gone to that amends, I'd gone to that encounter with a result in mind. I'd gone to that counter, into that encounter thinking that I would change certain things and get certain things. And, you know, we leave the results to God. We're there to clean up our past. We're there to clean up our side of the street. And what the sidewalk that we find under that side of the street isn't our business. We're just supposed to clean up the street. You know, the greatest trouble you can get in, I think, is to do that, to go there and think, if I do this, this will happen. If I do this, I'll get money. If I do this, I'll get love. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much, Craig from Oklahoma. Sorry about that. I said the wrong state at first. So thanks, Craig from Oklahoma. Next up, we have Lucy B. in Florida and then Bonnie B. Lucy B., go ahead.
Good morning, everybody, and thanks, everybody who's doing service. As it's been stated before, the whole process of amends for me, I know I have to do with somebody else, and I have to include that person, obviously a trusted, experienced person, in every part of the amends, even including making the arrangements to do the amends. I've made a couple mistakes that might be helpful to other people. When I had to make amends to somebody I supervised, and this is years ago, I wanted to make an appointment with her outside of work. We worked in a very, very busy environment where privacy was hard to find. So she had a Saturday afternoon, 2 weeks from the time we talked about, available to get together. And I went to her house on that Saturday afternoon. I made the amends. That all went great. And then she told me that for 2 weeks she had been totally stressed out about what this issue was about. She was scared to death that she had done something wrong at work, and I was coming to, you know, tell her about it, or that, you know, she spent 2 weeks in almost fear of what was coming. So I would do that very different the next time, for sure. You know, reassure the person it's not about them specifically, that I just had something to say. And the other one was an ex, my ex-husband. When I called him to make amends, I mentioned that it was a very difficult divorce, both in a lot of pain afterwards, and I had gotten engaged and wanted to finally make this amends. And when I called him to schedule it, I said, you know, I'm engaged and I want to make this amends. And he said, well, I'm really super busy now, but I'll call you when I have time. And he never called. And what I realized is that it was not necessary for me to mention that I was moving on in that way. That might have come up in the amends, but I feel that it was hurtful to him that I said that way. I could be wrong about that, but it wasn't necessary, you know, for me to include that, and I think it made a difference. So I hope those things can help others. Those are mistakes I won't make again. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Lucy B. in Florida. Next up, we have Bonnie B.
Sorry, Abby. I was unmuting. Good morning, everyone. Bonnie B. from Florida. Gratefully covered today by the grace of God. You know, so much of this book to me comes down to what is my motivation? That's the first thing I thought of when I think of amends. What's my motive? What's my motive? And it's the same theme throughout the book. If I'm not doing it to draw closer to my Creator because He places it upon my heart and because I know this is the right time and the right thing to do, I'm just running the show again. When I think about the amends that I did when I first came into program, wow, good golly. You know, no guilt, no shame because I did the best I could do, but I was like a Mack truck. I had a list. I'm going to check these amends off. There wasn't a whole lot of pausing at that season of my life. I was never asking, where's God in this? I just wanted to be free from the obsession that I had. And I believe that if I just did everything on this list, I was going to get what I wanted. And, you know, not so much. Because, again, for me, the program always comes back to take a deep breath. Is this being driven by fear? Am I being selfish? I know that, again, for me, the question is always going to be, am I willing? Am I willing? If I'm willing, God's going to show up in the right timing. But either He's at the center of it or I'm at the center of it. And that tends to be the issue with everything that I have in my life. Yes, others are involved. You know, as others have said, what's the motive, right? I mean, do I have a goal? Not a problem with having a goal as long as the goal isn't attached to the outcome. Because if it's attached to the outcome, it's just another idol, and then it's all about me again. And who am I telling about this? What's the end goal? You know, I have found that I need to be silent. I just need to do whatever it is that God tells me to do, always tossed out to other people. I do have people I run these things past, always, because I can't see what I can't see, and I know that still at the base, I just want to feel good. And my brain tells me if I can just get this off my chest, then I'm going to feel good. But I have to prefer other people ahead of myself. I have to be doing this in the right order and the right timing. And so I love this book. It's my second favorite book. Most of you know that. I love this book because it continues to bring me back to what's really going on deep within you. What is that thing? And no one else knows that except for me. And so it's very personal. Thanks so much, everyone. Thanks, Abby, for your service today. Blessings to everyone.
Thank you so much, Bonnie B. from Florida. All right. Oh, there's the timer. Okay. I'm going to take another lineup. I just have a couple things that I want to say first. So we have a convention coming up, and it's called The Power of the Big Book Weekend. It is in 263 days from now, starting... it's the weekend of November 7th through November 9th, and it's in Newark, New Jersey. All the information is on the website, the Vision for You website. So right on the homepage is a countdown. Click on the little button underneath, more info, and you can get all the info there. So hope to see you there. And next up, I'll take another lineup, and although we value experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others may share their experience too. So who would like to share today?
Elizabeth D.
Elizabeth D. Who else would like to share today?
Melissa G. Dara F.
Melissa G. Dara F.
Brona D.
Can you say your name again?
Sabrona D.
B-R-O-N-A-D?
D, yeah.
All right, Brona D. Anyone else? All right, let's go with that. We have Elizabeth D, Melissa G, Dara F, and Brona D. All right, Elizabeth D, go right ahead.
Good morning. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can.
I can't be heard well. I'm in the car right now. Just let me know and I'll pass. But if it's okay, I'll keep going.
We can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm Elizabeth D, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater living in the Boston area. This paragraph is very important to me because it reminds me of an amends that I made, an unusual amends that I made several years ago. I dated a man for about 8 months who I knew was troubled, but I didn't realize how troubled he was until toward the end. And I learned quite abruptly that he had been physical with two other women in an unprotected way. And so I immediately walked away from the relationship. But I was deeply hurt by this betrayal and all of his many, you know, moments of being deceitful. But I was also somewhat of an addictive relationship, so it was incredibly hurtful, and I had a very hard time completely losing contact with him and not getting in touch with him. But I did that. Years later, I was still really angry at him, and I would speak about him in a really disparaging way. And then I went through the steps with an enlightened and recovered sponsor who helped me see, and in the course of the process, I started to understand my part in the relationship, how I had kept the relationship going much longer than I should have. I had suspicions, but I ignored them. I lied to myself that I could change him. I was not hearing the cues that he was making to me that he wasn't interested in an exclusive physical relationship. As a result of doing that work, I was relieved, and I had to confront the idea, do I make an amends to him? It was very clear from my conversations with my fellows and with myself and with my higher power that it would have been dangerous for me to get in touch with him, that it would have jeopardized my life, in a sense, and my recovery if I were to make a direct amends. So instead, I made what I consider a living amends. And I did a lot of writing about this. And I also realized that if I were to get in touch with him, I know he would have continued to lie. So I would have been enabling more bad behavior on his part. So it's very clear I just needed to move on. But also stop assassinating his character, recognizing that he really was a sick person, just like me. And so I moved on, and several years later, I ran into him by accident. And because I had done this work, and he wanted to engage, I was able to kindly and tolerantly just say, I cannot speak with you, and walked away. And even though he was there for the whole weekend, we had no further contact. I'm very grateful for the process and how it worked in this situation. And I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Elizabeth D. from Boston. Next up, we have Melissa G., followed by Dara S. Go ahead, Melissa.
Hi, this is Melissa G. from Michigan. The shares have been so wonderful, and it's just a great reminder, the fact that we don't have to do this program alone. I know when, like, I was getting ready to make my amends all the times I made them, I had somebody who helped guide me through, you know, the proper way, because as much work as I've done and how much I realize my part is and all the things, I still have a tendency to either want to take on the blame that isn't mine to take on, or to, somehow completely excuse everything else, and the fact that it is just to focus on my behavior and to change and amend the things that I can amend and that are my responsibility to amend is helpful. And then I also loved just the whole, like, the part of being the martyr, right? Like, going in and being like, I don't know exactly how to say it, but just, you know, always to look at our intentions of why we're going in to make our amends was very helpful for me. And yeah, I appreciate the shares today. So thanks. Bye.
Thank you so much, Melissa G. from Michigan. All right, next up we have Dara F., followed by Brona D. Dara F., go ahead.
Hi, this is Dara F. in Virginia. I have made some amends recently. One of them that was unsuccessful was I tried to get a hold of an ex-boyfriend that lived with me for a while, 20-some years ago. I was going to apologize to him for some behaviors that I did and sort of own my part of it. And I tried reaching out to him on Facebook, and he didn't respond. And I just sort of took that as, he isn't interested in having anything to do with me, and I just left it at that. I didn't make it like a compulsion to go after him and make him hear my amends, which I thought was good of letting go. If I ever run across him, which isn't very likely, I'll be happy to make an amends. And I think that's all we have to do, is to be ready to make the amends, whether it's accepted or is not our business. Another thing is a sponsor who I had a bit ago, while I was trying to figure out what kind of amends to make to my mom, kept on saying, okay, you've got to come up with exactly what you did wrong to her so that you could make amends, and it can't just be that you're a crappy daughter or something like that. And what I ended up doing was, my mother was very ill, and I was able to go down and sit with her for like 4 days, and I was able to just take care of her and listen to her and be kind. And when she annoyed the hell out of me, just leave the room, make a phone call, take a walk. I didn't vocalize back at her, and I was able to be the daughter that she had wanted me to be. And I did this before she passed, and I'm so glad that I was able to make that amends that way. I didn't say sorry. I didn't bring up all kinds of crap from the past to disturb her. I just was there for her in a way I had never been before, and that was, for me, the best amends I could make. And with that, I'll say thank you so much, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Dara F. from Virginia. Next up, we have Brona D., and then I'll take another few names. Brona, go ahead.
Thank you so much for your service. My name is Brona D. I am from Northern Ireland, and yeah, grateful for all doing service today. And for me, the line or the words were hasty and foolish martyr, because yeah, I can have two gears in this program of the procrastination, I'll do it tomorrow, I'll come back to it, I'll look at it later. Or I can be like the bulldozer, just diving headlong in, you know, feet first and thinking about it later. So that hasty and foolish martyr, that, and even the martyr, you know, I can feel so guilty about something minor, and I need to go clear, regard, you know, and not thinking of the other people involved, not having, I just want to get rid of this guilt that I'm feeling. And the program doesn't call me to this, you know, it's like in the last paragraph, that line, we have decided to go to any lengths to find a spiritual experience. And that can be, you know, slowing down, that pause, that prayer, going to God. And a bit like that, the last couple of words of this paragraph, here I am. Here I am, higher power, God of my understanding. Can you show me how to do this? Can you show me what the most loving thing to do in a situation where there's harm? Because I also suffer from the like me, like me, like me, you know, wanting to bend over backwards. And I can want to apologize for breathing, you know, because that will disturb somebody and they mightn't like me, you know. So, yes, I have this problem, suffer from this problems of my mind that, you know, allergy of the body, mental obsession, but in my thinking, in my obsession with food, in my obsession with thinking, I can spend all day action. And this is where I need to marry this need to pause and be still before my higher power, asking God, what's the action that I need to take here? You know, so that I can be considerate of others, I can be thoughtful of their needs and what needs to happen, and then make the genuine amends for what harm I have done. And I have had some experiences of this whenever I have completely let go of the outcome, because I, like others have shared, I can want it to go in the way that suits me, but I want ultimately that spiritual experience so that I get closer to God and trusting and relying in God and what God would have me be and show up as today. And yeah, continue to get opportunities to learn and grow. So yeah, that's what I got. And thank you for letting me share. I'll pass.
Okay, thank you so much, Brona D from Northern Ireland. All right, we have time for about 3, maybe 4 more. So although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others may share their experience too. So who would like to share today?
Becky N.
Was that Becky N?
N as in Nancy. Yes.
Yep. Okay, got it.
Lucy A.
Lucy A.
Christina L.
Christina L. All right, let's start with that. We have Becky N, Lucy A, and Christina L. And we'll see where we're at after that. All right, Becky, go ahead.
Hi, this is Becky N from Florida. And a lot of things that I was thinking about, that, you know, the amends were something that terrified me. And then once I got into it, it's like, okay, I have an expectation, and, you know, the need to be loved. I want to feel better. You know, I want the fear, you know, trying to do it, being very fearful about the outcome of it. And, you know, this program has taught me so much how to make amends according to the way that God wants me to, and, you know, working very closely with a sponsor. And I know when I first started making, well, I made amends, but not according to the big book many years ago, and then making it according to the big book just changed my life. And when I wrote them out, you know, I'd have things like, you know, I'd tell them what I did wrong, and then I would add like, oh, you know, you've always been there for my kids, or, you know, you've always been so good. And my sponsor was like, no, this is not the time, you know, this is not in the amends, because when we say things like that, it's wanting them to make it easier for them to forgive us for what we did. So that was very, you know, eye-opening for me, that the the trying to people please and the trying to get them to feel good about themselves so that they, you know, like me, that's not the time to do it when we're making an amends. And, you know, it's trying to get them to say, oh, it's okay what you did, don't worry, or trying to get them to make an amends that they need to make to me. And then when I, so that was really important to work that through with my sponsor to really understand exactly how simple and concise the amends would be. And then also I know when I made my amends, according to the big book, to my husband that we're separated from, I started to cry, and I told my sponsor that, and she was like, you know, we don't, you know, we don't cry when we make our amends, you know, like if at all possible, you know, no emotion, just being very, you know, loving and kind and quick about it, because, you know, crying can be very manipulative and can also take away from the amends. So that was really a learning for me as well. So it's really important to work with my sponsor, and, you know, they're not going to be perfect. I remember her telling me, you know, it's not going to be perfect, and you just do, you know, pray about it and do the best you can do, and we learn as we go along. So those were just some thoughts I had, and I'm going to mute. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Oh, the timer just went off again. Okay, Becky N., thank you so much. That was Becky N. from Florida. Next up, we have Lucy A., followed by Christina L. Lucy, go ahead.
Hi, good morning, everyone. This is Lucy A. in New York, recovered compulsive overeater. I'm so thankful for your service this morning. So recently, 12 steps have been such a blessing in my life, where my husband was recently, about a month and a half ago, diagnosed with stomach cancer, and he's 51, very healthy overall, and it could have easily gone undiagnosed. But in the midst of this, we also got a new puppy, which my adult daughter who lives with us, she's 19, really wanted it. And here I am saying, God, I'm powerless over any of this. Like, none of this is in my control. His illness is not in my control. The challenges of raising a puppy, any resentments that come with this are just in my daily walk in OA. I'm constantly asking God to show me the way, turning my will over to him, doing a moral inventory every single night. I do my 11th step. I'm on a 10-step train as well, where I'm admitting my wrongs. I'm going through my resentments. I'm making amends. I'm ready for change. You know, whatever change it is that God has for me, I just turn it over to him and I say, God, whatever your plan is, whatever your will is, God, just show me how to be of service to my husband, to my children, to this new little adorable puppy, which I was so resistant at first, but she's the cutest thing ever as she jumps around like ready to greet us. But I'm also willing to continue to seek help, you know, not only doing the things that I need to do for resentments and amends and all of that, but also coming to these meetings and being consistent about making my outreach calls and being in the middle of the herd, in the middle of everyone here, in the middle of life, and not allowing isolation to happen, not allowing that going back to the food to happen, because it is a miracle. It is a miracle that I'm not in the food. It is a miracle that I'm abstinent. And only by the grace of God am I peaceful in the midst of this chaos. It's only because of this program and the grace of God that I am peaceful in the midst of this. I'm just so thankful. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much. That was Lucy A. in New York. Next up, we have Christina L. Christina, go ahead.
Thanks, Abby. Good morning, everyone. Christina L., recovering compulsive overeater in Florida, and I am not on this step yet, but I have been there before many times, and the line that really hits me is we are not to be the hasty and foolish martyr who would needlessly sacrifice others to save himself from the alcoholic pit. I made amends to my in-laws or at least my father-in-law. My mother-in-law was there, but it was mainly to both of them in a way. I don't even know how long it's been now. It's been quite a few years. And, you know, listening to the shares has just been so enriching. And I wish I knew today, or I wish I knew then what I know today, because it's definitely not an amends that I would have made, at least at that time. And, you know, I did ask my husband about making amends to his dad and, you know, told him what I was going to be making amends for. He didn't feel that I owed an amends, but, you know, as this book tells me, like, it's I need to clean off my side of the street, but he was okay with me doing it. And what I see today is that, one, I was acting out of fear that I wasn't going to recover. And two, I had an expectation that doing so would change him. And that could be further from the truth. So I don't know if there's any further amends to make to him. If anything, I think that there is an amends to make to my husband. Because once I made amends to my father-in-law, it was like a switch flipped. And I was, you know, almost like best friends with my father-in-law, but my husband had become an enemy. And I know that that was not the intent of or what should have happened, but that's just where I was. And, you know, I know that I am definitely spiritually sick, just as my father-in-law is. And I don't know that there will be another amend that I can make to him. But something I did hear, and it's actually been on my heart and mind as we've been talking about amends, is not talking about him anymore. Whenever we get together with my brother and sister-in-law and some other family members, because we're not the only people that my in-laws have problems with, there's a lot of trash talk about him. And, you know, it doesn't make me feel very good, but then at the same time, there's like this adrenaline rush of like talking about him and stuff. And suddenly I feel better for a moment, like picking up the food kind of thing. And that's not something that I want to do anymore. But honestly, I don't know that I'm willing to stop at this point. You know, and a lot of that is fear of what other people will think. And I know that that's something that I've got to work on and pray on, and I've got a long way to go. So with that, I will pass. Thanks for letting me share. Have a great day, everybody.
Thank you so much, Christina. Alan, Florida. All right, we have time for one more two-minute share. Who would like to take that? One more. Might be 1 minute by the time someone shares. Anyone? Any last takers?
Krista S. from Illinois.
All right. Krista S., go right ahead.
Hi, everybody. Krista S., compulsive reader. I'll just take a minute. I just wanted to claim my seat, as they say. I've done amends a few times before. I'm not there yet. I'm on step four right now. And I'm looking at my list, and I'm thinking about what everybody shared about intentions. I'm really grateful for these shares today because intentions are everything. If my heart is in the place where I'm trying to get something out of someone, it's probably not in God's will for me to be making that amends. And I need to remember that every single time I'm thinking about anyone on my list. Like, yeah, so what's been helping me lately is praying for people that I'm not sure I should make amends to, or you know, what the nature of that relationship should be, but just like praying for them genuinely. And I found that that softens my own heart toward them, that I can check my intentions better, like when I do get to that step. So thank you everybody for sharing. This has been a great meeting. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Krista S. from Illinois. Glad you were able to get in there at the end here. All right. So thank you to everyone who shared. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, Monday, February 17th, 2025, for our 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22,172. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Lynn ask, please read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only, reading until keep you until then.
This is Lynn F. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
All right. Thank you, Lynn S., for reading that. And then we'll just